If you were to watch a magic show, so imagine the magician calls up someone from the audience and he puts them behind a certain curtain. And just then he says the phrase abracadabra, and he puts down the curtain, and all of a sudden that person is gone. And nobody knows where that person is. And there's a big gasp from the audience. And of course, he says, "Watch, I'm gonna bring them back." And he puts up the curtain once again, and he says, "Abracadabra." Maybe he points his wand also, and he puts down the pulls down the curtain, and the person is back. And everyone's excited, and everyone cheers. Where's that phrase "abracadabra" from? We've heard it many, many times. If you have a little child, so a little kid, you give them a magic wand, and they'll point the abracadabra. So where's that from? So that phrase, according to the Oxford Dictionary, the first occurrence of that phrase was in the 2nd century in a work by someone named Serenus Semonicus. And it was something that they inscribed in an amulet that had certain healing powers. So something very interesting though about it, and this is actually mentioned in Wikipedia, so it has to be true, is that one of the etymological roots is actually from Yadus. What was abracadabra? So it's comprised of the two words abaracadabra. Bara, like Bereshit bara, creates kidabra, as you speak. That with one's words, you are able to create something. And so, a magician, what do? They say, "I'm gonna make the person disappear." Abracadabra. They say the words and puff, the person is gone. And if you think about, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, right? The 10 Ma'amarim, 10 Ma'amaros that have created the world. So it's 10 utterances. So the words that we say have action that mamash could create things. Abarakadabra. In this week's Parsha, when it comes to, after enumerating the details of the various korbanos, the Torah tells us, Zos HaTorah. These are the rituals, la ola, la mincha, la achatas, la asham, la milam, la zevach hashlamim. These are mitzvahs of all those korbanos. These are the laws. Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. Hashem told Moshe on Har Sinai, b'yom tzavos es b'nei Yisrael, la hakrevs korbanehem, la Hashem b'in b'har Sinai. That you have to tell b'nei Yisrael to tell them how to bring the korbanos to Hashem in Midbar Sinai. So the Gemara Midnachos on Daf Kuf Yud Amun Aleph says the following teaching. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, "My dechsev." Why is the Torah say Zos HaTorah laolah lamincha lachatas lasham? Why does it say Zos HaTorah? So Kol HaOsek BaTorah, someone who learns the Torah portion, keneged these korbanos, ki ilu hikrev ola mincha chatas v'asham. It is as if you have offered a korban by just saying it, by reciting the words of the Torah, which discuss the details of these korbanos. Continues that Gemara. That's already an amazing idea. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava. Rava says, "Hai leola lamincha." When it says laola lamincha, ola umincha mi ba'ilei. Is this needed? Ella Amar Rava. Rava teaches kala osik ba'Torah. Anyone who learns Torah, eino tzarech lo ola, velo mincha, velo asham. You do not need to bring an ola, you do not need to bring a mincha, you do not need to bring an asham. Anyone who learns the Torah portion related to those karbanos. So the Chavetz Chaim in Perak Aleph of Torah's Or, so he asks, what is Rava adding to Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish basically said that idea, that if you learn the Torah segment, section, related to the karbanos, as if you brought a korban. So what is Rava doing? So Rava, he said, "Kol oisik b'Torah eino tzarech lo ola." You don't need this ola. So he says, Rava takes it one step further. Reish Lakish is saying, when you learn the Torah section, it's almost as great as bringing the korban. It's almost like, which is a gevaldic thing to think about. But Rava says something even more wild. Rava says, "No, when you learn the Torah section of the other korbanos, eino tzarech lo ola, you don't even need an ola. This is greater," says the Chavetz Chaim. It means that it's greater than even being makriv, the korban. That by learning the section of the Torah in relation to those korbanos. And that is something wild. And Rav Weinberger, Weinberger happens to often I hear him say, well, if you ever list a shir by him related to Lag BaOmer, Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Av, any of those types of holidays, the holidays that are typically overlooked, regular work days, regular school days, sometimes if it wasn't for giving out bucks, people wouldn't necessarily know about Tu B'Shvat, right? So Weinberger says, when it comes to things that people overlook, these quote unquote minor Yomim Tovim, he says those things actually have tremendous kedusha inside of them. And I think over here, we see this Gemara that discusses the power and the greatness of reciting the Karbanos. So to be a Musar, in terms of our recitation of the Karbanos every morning, it happens to be one of the most overlooked sections of all of Tefillah in Shacharis. And people skip from after brachos to Rabbi Yishmael Omer and Mizmor Lesoda. But in between them is the section of the Korbanos. And we have this idea, this notion, that by us, we of course know that the reason we daven is keneged the Korbanos. It's in place in lieu of these Korbanos that we're, of course, right now unable to offer. And by saying these words, we are mamish being makriv, a korban. And it's a wild thing to think that our speech and the words we say have the power to be, to in a certain sense, be equivalent of an action is an amazing thing. I saw an article by someone named Serena Miller. That article is titled, Watch Your Words, The Power of Language on Thought. She writes, and I quote, "Speech in Judaism has the power to create new realities through words. An individual can make an oath so permanent that it requires a Beis Din to be annulled, dedicate an object to the temple, thereby prohibiting its use for any other purpose, sanctify the Shabbos each week through Kiddush, and establish the Jewish calendar through the monthly announcement of the new moon." Look how many things we have in Judaism to be able to just say something, and that mamish has a chalos. It takes a physical effect in the world by based in declaring it is now Rosh Chodesh. It has a huge nafkamina coming up. The next Rosh Chodesh is, of course, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And whether they declare, whether the month is going to be chasar or male, whether Adar is going to be a full month or not a full month, has a huge ramification. Because, of course, if the Beis Din were wrong about when Rosh Chodesh is, so one would Chas v'Shalom end up eating chametz when it should be Pesach, right? That's a pretty bad thing. But yet, just the words create the reality that no, now it is Rosh Chodesh and it is Nisan and this is how it is, just by saying something. And the word, when it comes to Dibur, the root, Dalet, Beis, Resh, is the same letters as Davar. When you have a davar, an object, an item, so it comes from the same place. It is not, of course, a coincidence. And it comes to show us that when you speak, there's something physical, that an action that could come about from your words. The Maggid of Mezrich, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, has an amazing idea. Then in the beginning of the Torah, we say, Breishis Sparo Elokim Es Hashamay Ves Haaretz. Right? Simple explanation. In the beginning, Hashem created Shamayim v'aret. So put the comma, the Bereishis Bara Elokim S, comma. Hashem created S. What does that mean? So S is Aleph and Tav. Aleph and Tav. What is the first thing Hashem created, says the Maggid of Mezrich? Hashem created the alphabet. Hashem created the letters. Hashem created speech. And then, so Shamayim v'aret. Shamayim v'aret came from the speech of the letters, which are incorporated all the way from Aleph to Tav. A wild, wild idea. That by us being just speaking something, being able to talk, has tremendous, tremendous ramifications. Of course, in just a few weeks, when we have Tazria Mitzvora, there are going to be many, many drushas about speech and the potential dangers of Lashon Hara. But it's important to realize, of course, the positive components of speech and what speech could create, and even the halachos, like we saw by Kiddush HaChodesh, by Shabbos, sanctifying the Shabbos, having to make Kiddush at the end of Shabbos, having to make Havdalah in order to end Shabbos. There's so much just within our words, within the power to speak, that we should really, really think carefully before we open our mouths. If you've ever seen Rav Meir Tursky or heard Rav Meir Tursky speak, it's mamish a beautiful thing. He's someone who takes every word he says and weighs it and decides, Should I say this word? Should I say that word? Should I not say any word? Should I? Mamash, before here, he'll stop. He'll think for a second. There'll be a long pause potentially when you start listening to Shir. You don't know if he's there. You don't know when it's going to start. It's because he's right there. He's ready to start, but he has to think. He has to make sure that every word comes out properly, to say every word and to weigh it to make sure it's the right word that's used. And if we thought about speech that way, then our speech could be entirely different than how it is. To not have a wasted word and to realize the impact of every single word we say.